put your website to work while you play. A website works 24/7, so no matter where you are or what you're doing, people can still find you online. Start building your website today at GoDaddy.com. It starts with a .com domain. Enter promo code 199MYLF, that's 199MILF, at checkout to get your .com for just $1.99. Some limitations apply. See website for details. Hello, everybody. I'm Sophie, and welcome to MILF Talk, Make Your Life Fabulous. We like to talk about anything around here, from parenting and money issues to sex and dating. We make self-help fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. Seriously, I hope that listening will not only entertain you, but maybe help you a little bit along the way. For those of you that aren't familiar with me, I'm a psychologist, a life coach, and a mother of two, and author of MILF 101, Make Your Life Fabulous. I am truly passionate about helping people live authentic, joyful lives. So if you ever want to write to me and ask me an advice question, you can find me on Facebook at Sophie Venable, or you can email me at makeyourlifefabulous@gmail.com. And I'm serious. You can email me. I would be more than happy to answer your question. So hit me up for some free advice. Also, this is kind of exciting to me.
Okay.
I finally got it together on my website.
What?
Yes. Well, I don't have control over this. I mean, I love my web guys, but you know, you have to communicate like what you need, and it's complicated. Mm-hmm. Anyhow, I can finally offer you a free workbook. I've been working on this for a while. It's called A Goal Setting and Life Rescripting Workbook. I introduced the idea of rescripting in MILF 101. And this is an awesome tool to help with this process. It's cool because on your own, you can work your way through this workbook and start getting clarity and setting goals and figuring out what you want your life to look like. And it's free.
Oh.
It's free.
It's free?
Yes. So go to makeyourlifefabulous.com, enter your email, and you'll get a link to a free PDF workbook, and has tons of useful information in it. It's like 46 pages or something.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. It's super cool. And even if you haven't read the book, it doesn't matter because I kind of included a sort of edited chapter of that book so you understand what the hell I'm talking about.
Oh, okay.
Of that chapter of that topic. Mm-hmm. So it's cool. It stands on its own. So go get it because it's free.
Get that.
Go get it.
It's free.
So like we're having too much fun in here today already because I'm super excited about my guest today. First, as you can hear, I've got Todd Anderson in the peanut gallery. Woo! Todd Anderson,
Hi.
Famous actor. Yes,
super
your show got picked up.
Famous.
Yay.
Yes, you're
very
the worst.
Excited.
Got picked up.
You're the worst on FX.
X.
Got picked up. On
the
FX.
The second season will be on FXX.
And then it's going to be on FXXX.
And then it's going to go right
and then we get to see Todd naked.
Yeah.
No, okay.
Yeah, I don't know why you would want to, but it'll be an option.
Oh, come on. You're a sexy beast.
Aww.
But today, my guest is one, a total MILF.
Very MILFy. Super MILFy.
Super MILFy. And two, a host of a super cool podcast right here on Sideshow Network. I actually got to be on her show recently, which was really fun.
Uh-huh.
And basically, we decided that we wanted to continue our riveting conversation.
What's the name of the podcast?
I'm going to get there.
I'm just asking questions.
She is the creator and host of the very popular storytelling show, Storyworthy.
Storyworthy.
It's right here on Sideshow Network, and you should definitely listen to it. She also has a game show, a spinoff, if you will, called Shotgun Story Worthy, which is played all over Los Angeles.
What is that? What is Shotgun Story?
I've played it.
Yeah?
I mean, I've at least played a version of it. So she also has, this is super cool, she also has her first comedy storytelling album coming out right before Christmas called Pit to LAX, My Storyworthy Life. Did I say that right? Anyway, it doesn't matter. Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only Christine Blackburn. Woo!
I know when you say that I'm a MILF, you mean I'm a mom in Los Feliz.
That's right.
Which is true.
I mean, you're one who is fabulous. A one
I
who
like
makes
that.
Your life fabulous.
Wow.
One who
I've
is
never
always
thought...
working toward making her life
is
fabulous.
Is that what?
Always working. That
yeah.
part is true.
Well, that
that's where they get you. That's
where they get
part.
You. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Todd, mm-hmm. congratulations on your show.
Oh, thank you very much.
In Los Angeles,
sweet, right?
It's a very big deal when you get picked up because you feel like even if somehow they cancel the show or whatever, you've got like 10 weeks of paychecks coming.
Yeah,
or
sure.
Or maybe 13 weeks of paychecks.
Well, yeah.
So it's such a good feeling.
It is a good feeling.
I hosted a show on USA Network once called Ready for the Weekend Movie. It was like an interstitial show. And we got picked up. seven times.
Wow.
And yeah, we did like 70 shows. It was 10 a season. And it was every time we got picked up, I would buy everybody in the office a new pen. It was just my little thing. I said, man, thank you so much. Like, it's just such a great feeling.
Yeah.
To have.
I feel bad now that I didn't buy anybody any pens.
You didn't.
You could do that.
Cheap
people
bastard.
Like that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Just, you know? Like Bic?
No, I would do Sharpies. Always like Sharpies? Different color shape Sharpies because you can get such a beautiful array of colors and then they could choose. You know.
I know. No, I get it. Because when I go to Staples or something with my kids, yeah. You know, the Sharpie aisle now is like a whole aisle.
There's
and so,
many
is the
Sharpies.
Post-it aisle. It's yeah. Like it's like Post-it heaven.
Isn't that crazy. Interesting? And yeah. I do like desk products. What do you call that?
Office supplies?
I do yeah. enjoy a nice office supply.
I do.
In fact, I collect
I like
binders.
This kind of pen, actually. I've kind of this Pentel RSVP.
Oh,
I
that's a
like
good
that
one because it has like a cushion.
Yeah,
for your
it's
fingertips.
Cool. I like it. I like
I
it.
I also collect binders, which actually became a point of contention between me and my ex-husband because he got so mad that I like binders so much. Well, no, it wasn't contention, but it was
why do you
humor.
Like binders?
Because I like to organize things. Mm. Like
you can use one of them for your workbook.
Songs,
go get your workbook. Put it in
you
your
know,
binder.
Like music. I play music, so I have a lot of different binders for music for my daughter. She has
sure.
binders. Nice.
A lot of binders.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure
well,
your daughter's
sort of
completely binder bound.
Are they color-coded binders?
Listen, Todd. I think it's just a little bit
are we talking
you.
About okay. three ring
you're
binders
actor,
or
you have a show
and he's a
TV,
male
you're not gonna get it okay
I have binders
these are three ring binders that's exactly right I have a hole punch so everything is just and then there's tabs
it's yeah tabs
it's exciting
yeah. Okay.
I used to have like dream binders like when I'd keep a dream house binder and I'd have like
that.
My all my favorite like ideas for kitchens or this or that.
Like
and
stuff you pull out of magazines?
I
and
yes, I would yeah, take some, and
like
I would use those, yeah, like a vision board. And I would use the, what are those? It's the clear pocket.
A sleeve.
Like a
yeah, but you know.
Cellophane
like
a, sleeve.
Yeah, the pockets. My kids are obsessed with
it.
These things. I can't remember
pockets.
What they're called. Anyway.
Baggy?
No, it's got a three-hole punch, and you stick the thing in it. Page protector. So I would use
protector.
Those. So you could pull anything
the
out of...
So your page doesn't catch anything.
Exactly. It's a page condom. I put them in, you know, I tear it out of magazines, right? And then, actually, when I remodeled my first house...
Yeah.
I kind of had a lot of that shit in there.
Isn't that
it
beautiful?
It was pretty cool. Yeah.
Now, my girlfriend is a graphic designer, and she has that sort of a binder going. And when I go to her house, I always go for that binder.
Where's
because,
your binder? It's the best
yeah,
of.
It's like everything I love, too.
Yeah.
Like, every single thing in her binder
it's the greatest
I love.
Hits from all of those magazines sitting
yeah,
on your
so fun. I
realize now that that's what I need to get my wife. Is
some binders and
collection
page
of binders and page because what she does
wow.
is she yanks the stuff out of the magazine
you're
she
welcome,
wants
Hillary.
To remember and then when I'm neatening up I just find piles of magazine ripped out magazine
let's
pages
do that for
everywhere
Christmas for her. That's like
yeah
nice.
I agree
don't tell her
oh okay
just steal the big pile does okay. she listen to this show Tom?
I don't know sometimes
come on. Do you, no does she or doesn't she
I mean, sometimes because she's been on the show
listen to podcasts or they,
or
go,
they don't
okay,
she
know.
Normally doesn't listen to podcasts
okay
I have three podcasts of my own that she never listens to
is that right
yeah
my family thinks my show is called Story World it doesn't matter. I
my mom says my mom always says I have to listen to your show sometime I know she doesn't mean it but I'm like no you don't you really don't.
Yeah.
It's all good.
It's really
it's
not
good.
Necessary because yeah. you have to realize that your friends and family are separate from your fans. You know, there's
yeah.
different things. There's
yeah.
there's three Fs in my
well,
life. Family.
Okay. You know, yeah. that's a good point because
family and
yeah,
fans.
Because I think when she listens and watches some of the stuff that like my web series and all that, I think some of it actually makes her kind of uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also the element of she hears me talk. All the fucking time.
Yeah.
So why should she tune in to
why,
me talking?
Why do you talk? Do you live with your mother?
No.
He's talking about his wife.
My wife.
Oh,
yeah.
I'm sorry. I
was talking about
mother.
My. Yeah, he lives with my mother, actually.
No, and my mother should not
listen
or,
to,
watch
or watch anything.
Yeah, no,
anything.
I understand.
Nothing.
I understand.
Anything
nothing.
That I do.
Yes. I can't imagine that Lynette Carolla listens to Adam's show. There's no way.
No, my God, why would she?
No, right. Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to like do a really roundabout segue here because I'm glad that we have like solved some issue in your marriage because we're going to talk about marriage today.
What?
You're getting binders and page protectors for your wife.
For my wife.
Which is going to improve your life.
Right.
And so we're talking about the future of marriage. Todd is actually in a very successful first marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Great. Yeah.
15
exciting.
Years now, something like that?
Yeah, we're going to stop when we get to 20.
Yeah, okay.
Because we figure that's super successful.
You don't want to show off.
You know, yeah. Then you're just rubbing it in people's faces.
You're just making people uncomfortable.
That's so sweet. Yeah, I think that's exactly. beautiful.
They're really thoughtful people. Yeah. They're really nice.
Yeah, yeah, we're really
nice. Yeah.
Well, and in L.A., 15 years is really like 40. It's right. it's like yeah. double and it's, a half.
Yeah.
Time yeah. it's 1.5.
Sort of like a yeah. dog marriage.
So mm-hmm. now we don't have to get into the gory details or anything, but you're currently in the middle of a divorce, are you?
We've been separated for 3 years.
Oh, okay.
So we're for health and medical and benefits and stuff like yes. that, you know, whatever. We work it out. I mean, and we're friends.
Well, that's interesting you say that because that's something that I recently read referred to as the gray divorce.
Mm.
You know, the gray area divorce where like certain things still stay connected for practical reasons.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, so. It really is for practical reasons, and it really comes down to our daughter, you know, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, my first
but
marriage...
But you don't live under the same roof.
No,
separate.
We don't. Yeah, yeah. No, and I know yeah. I have a couple of friends who live together and are apart. So,
yes.
And they have bigger houses, and they make that work as well.
Yeah, that would make me nuts.
Yeah.
Do
that
they
would
do
never
that,
in
like,
a million years work for me, but I respect that they can do that.
70s sitcom trick where they just, like, paint a line down the middle of the house, and you can't cross the line.
Yeah, like in the Brady Bunch.
There's, like,
yeah.
an IKEA curtain. Like a divider in the house. You
so
don't
I think everybody, you know, everybody makes it work, I guess, you know, the best that they can. Well, I don't think everybody does the best they can, but some people do.
Okay, so we were talking when we were on your show, we sort of went off on this little tangent about kind of the future of marriage, right? And
right.
the three of us, Hannes, who's mm-hmm. your co-host.
That's right.
Were discussing kind of like, is marriage obsolete, you know? And I was looking up some statistics.
Oh, good.
Mm-hmm. And just a couple years ago, 50% of younger Americans thought that marriage was obsolete. And 40% of Americans overall thought that marriage was becoming obsolete.
And where was this from?
Some New York Post article.
No, but it was in the last year, did you say?
No, it was like 2011.
Okay,
yeah.
Interesting.
So, you know, just mm-hmm. a few years. And that the other half... We're sort of wanted to get rid of the no fault divorce thing and sort of challenge the nonchalant attitudes of marriage. So sort of legislate, like make it harder, essentially.
To get a divorce?
To get a divorce.
Oh, that's a good
sort
idea.
Of, sort
Why would they do that?
Because they think they can legislate the level to which you're going to work on your marriage, which kills
oh my
me.
Gosh.
Like, I think
oh,
that's amazing.
That's
you know?
Ridiculous.
As if it's easy to get a divorce. Anybody who's been through a divorce knows, like, yeah, you can just file for one, but guess what? Now, welcome to the hardest year or two of your life.
Well, like if you get a mediator, you're in a better position right away.
I absolutely agree,
so,
but not everybody can do a mediator.
Well, a lot of
well,
people
a lot
should
of times
try harder.
They're nasty.
But a lot of people should try harder because here's the thing. If you are getting a divorce or you're considering splitting from your spouse, you have to understand if you can get your spouse into the very first meeting of a mediator, you'll have them hooked.
I
you don't
completely
need,
agree.
You don't need to get them and say, you know, we're going to work with this mediator for six months. You just say, okay, just come to one meeting. Because what a mediator does, at least in my experience, mm-hmm. is she takes a chalkboard or a whiteboard and she just puts the numbers on the board and anybody can see how this is going to shake down. It's either going to be the money's in your hands or in the hands of independent lawyers.
Sure. Yep.
And if you go the direction of independent lawyers, this is how much you are going to lose. And so once you get that unless you are in getting a divorce because of reasons maybe as abuse perhaps or mm-hmm. or even if somebody lied. I mean, look, my first husband got another girl pregnant.
Mm.
And I'm flexible, but not that flexible.
Yes, and I right, exactly.
And so I didn't get a lawyer yeah. right away.
Yeah.
Now, this was in the 90s when I don't think mediators were as popular.
No.
But at that time, I did get a lawyer, and it did cost me money. And then he had a lawyer, and it cost a lot of money that we didn't have. And it was, you know, over within a year. But still,
yes.
I bet we went through $20,000.
Sure.
Sure.
Oh, yeah, I did a mediator, and we probably went through $10,000 to $20,000.
No, that was my first
marriage.
Oh, that was
your first.
No,
yeah.
Now, this divorce, uh-huh. we only had to see the mediator like five times
uh-huh.
and she did charge like $300 or $350 an hour
uh-huh.
but we only had to see her for a total of about 10 hours.
Yeah.
So now it's and a some $5,000
mediators are like, some mediators are like $200 an hour. I mean, some of them are much cheaper than lawyers. So. And the nice thing about a mediator is that they advocate for the children.
Yeah.
They're not like your lawyer or his lawyer. They advocate for the children.
Well, and they don't know and you
they,
at all.
Yeah, it's, and they don't care about how many diapers you changed or what you did. Like they just don't. They're just about.
They just
like
put
you
it
said,
on the board. Yeah,
they sort of quantify everything for you and show you the reality of it. And if you can do that, that's great. The only problem is for some people, one of the spouses in some cases, start to close accounts, things like that, and then you're not dealing in you have to be dealing in basic
rationale.
Goodwill,
yeah,
base to deal with a mediator. Now that's not to say there weren't a lot of tears in my mediation, and there wasn't some anger, and there wasn't a point where I almost like threw myself onto Colorado Boulevard, but we were able to be in that room together and hash things out, you know? So, and I'm glad that we did because, my God, it saved us a fortune.
I don't know that everybody can do that.
I don't.
Yeah, because I'm presupposing that people are, like, mature, legitimate adults.
Never presuppose that, ever.
And a lot of times people are getting divorced because somebody lied or somebody cheated or somebody got somebody else pregnant.
Yeah, something like that. Then you're not a really goodwill kind of place.
Well, honestly, I think people get married for very immature reasons as well.
Well, they do.
Well, a lot of times it's easier to get married and then divorce than to break up a relationship. Do you know what I mean?
Okay.
As a girlfriend and boyfriend. If you are, I have been in relationships where it got so intense, I probably just married, like my first husband, I just got married to him because it was easier. Like our love affair was so tumultuous.
Right.
And so like, it was like so passionate.
It's just the next step. You're not going to stop until you've like wrung it all out.
We had to get married. That way we could just be divorced.
Well, and that
interesting
is, see, and that's the difference now, I think, in our culture is the why of why people get married.
Mm-hmm.
I do think there's plenty of people. I actually think that one of the reasons that divorce statistics are higher for people that live together first is because they get married because it comes next.
Right.
It's the next logical step. And you think that on some level, you think that getting married is going to fix your problems, right? Or that it's going to be easier,
or that you're going to get.
Yeah, this is.
Don't people do that though because of the pressure, societal pressure to get married?
Absolutely.
Like it's what you're supposed to do.
Right.
It's what people are out there looking for.
It makes you a grown up, and it also means that you have taken your relationship, like in your case, mm-hmm. to the fullest extent, right? And you've really taken it all the way. You got married.
Well, and marriage is a fairy tale happy ending that we're sold by movies and television and songs and books.
So do you think, Todd, that then people don't, since we don't need the hunter and the gatherer anymore, you know what I mean? Since men can easily raise children and women can easily work, do you think then that there will be more single people or are more single people in their 50s and 60s, 70s?
You mean like upcoming?
Dying alone is what I mean.
Oh, that element.
Yeah,
I do. I actually do.
Thanks a lot, Todd.
I do.
There are more divorces between 50 and 60 now than there ever were.
So people are dying alone. Yeah. So people are alone in their houses with their remote control, looking at Netflix.
Not necessarily. They're on our time.
Yeah, and you're assuming...
My mom's 78. She's dating.
Is that right?
You're assuming that the only people that want to hang out with you when you're dying are spouses. Everybody's got friends family who will be by your bedside.
Thank you.
And
that is the problem with marriage in our culture. It just buckles under the pressure of having to be everything to you.
Right. And I think
your spouse has to be everything to you.
Yeah, that's
supposed to be your best friend, your hobby, your this, your confidant, your sex partner.
So what should they be?
I personally think they should be your lover and your co-parent and your confidant. We want to get married.
That is everything.
But it's not everything. They don't have to be your best friend and your bowling partner and all of the fulfillment of all of your creative energy and the person that you spend every minute with.
But you do want to sleep with them every night in the same bed, in the same bedroom.
I don't necessarily need to.
Could you do separate bedrooms?
I could. I don't think my boyfriend could. I don't think I could. I mean, yeah. I mean, I don't think my boyfriend could. I think he likes the idea of having one. We don't live together yet.
Uh-huh. Right.
I'm putting that off for a while because we have kids and we don't want to make them live together and all that stuff.
And you live close.
And we live really close. We can like walk a shame. It's real short.
That's awesome.
So,
Hannes wants to have like, two bedrooms.
Hey, Dondi, I'm wearing the same thing I wore the night before.
He doesn't want to have the same bedroom.
Yeah, well,
My wife and I don't sleep in the same bed anymore.
Right. Is that right?
And it has nothing, we have a very
doesn't
healthy,
mean they don't get
yeah,
down.
We have a very healthy sex life. We love cuddling.
So
we love doing that. And it's as simple as this. She's a light sleeper and I snore. And that's it. And you know what? My grandparents, my mom's parents, never slept in the same room for exactly the same reason.
Do you and your wife have bunk beds?
No.
What's the situation?
We have a guest room, like an office with a day bed in it. And then we have the master bedroom. And we just take turns.
You switch back and forth.
We switch back and forth. Yeah.
Wow. That's very intimate, just to be able to have an agreement like that.
I think
so,
too.
Who gets the big bed?
Because I love that you said it that way. Because when we get married under the paradigm that it's sort of like, this is what you do. You get married in your white dress. You got all your friends in their ugly pink dresses. And they're all carrying their flowers. And you do this. You have this big party. Everybody buys you fucking, you know, mm-hmm. dishes. And then you sleep in the same bed every night and you're supposed to have sex and you're supposed to be everything to everybody. And nobody is willing to get intimate and talk about whether or not this arrangement is really working until it's too late and it hasn't been working for a while. Mm. And so I actually think that people are going to continue to get married because I still believe that it is felt to be, which is why gays are fighting for the right to get married, mm-hmm. the ultimate social statement of commitment. Mm. We are going to stand up in front of our friends and declare our love and commitment to each other. And we are going to witness each other's lives. And that's what we're going to do. And it's a beautiful, beautiful thing.
It's just that so many people do it 2, 3, 4, 5 times.
I know.
Well, and I think people
dilutes it.
But if we cannot scold people and admonish people for having different arrangements within their marriage and deciding that you guys must not really be intimate if you sleep in separate rooms, or you guys must have
a
shitty marriage.
Who judges that? I don't think people judge
that. I think, well, and then you've got people who go so far as to have planned non-monogamy in their marriages, and those people are considered freaks.
Oh, I don't think so.
Well, yeah, but you live in Southern California.
Yeah, in L.A.
I was going to say, like, so I think that...
Head 30 miles east and you're in for a world of hurt.
Yeah.
So I think that when... I think that when marriage can be... the paradigm of it can be more flexible in its definition, that people going into marriage know that they're not... they're not copping out or not committing by wanting different levels of space in their relationship or whatever it is they want, that it doesn't have to be defined in one exact way, mm-hmm. then I actually do think the wedding business is going to just continue to thrive. I really do because I met a woman who she's on her second marriage, her husband's on her third, and they've been married like, I don't know, like 20 years now or something. Super happy. And it took her 4.5 years, though, she said, to convince him to get married again because it was his third time, you know. And I said, so tell me, like, why did you want to get married again when you had already, she's like, you know, when it had already blown up in your face once.
Right.
You know, that whole happily ever after had blown up. Like, why did you not just, why wasn't being a girlfriend enough or whatever? Mm-hmm. You know,
right.
She's like, I wanted to be a wife. And I am a romantic. I wanted something permanent. I said, so you felt it was permanent, even though you know that marriage is not automatically permanent.
But,
she's like, yes,
yeah.
I did. It felt like, it feels more like we are going to try to make
this
work for a lifetime.
Well, good for
and
her.
I don't think that that's really going to go away across
that's
the board.
That's sweet.
I don't either. Well, it's the romantic thing. And I don't know that we're really wired that way.
You mean for monogamy? Or for marriage?
Yeah, well, yeah. I mean, I think a lot of that is, just the fairy tale that we've been sold. I mean, like, look at why was marriage invented?
Let's go back. Why was marriage
property
invented?
ownership and land and property? Yeah, to protect.
That was it.
Yeah, I mean, women were property. I mean, and really, when you talk about monogamy and marriage, really was monogamy for the women,
right?
And yeah. Marriage was about essentially about ownership. And I'm not like some. I'm not like a feminist who like says women don't need men and we blah, blah, blah. Like, no, I think men are crucial. I love them. And fathers
are
crucial and I love them.
You'll marry your boyfriend at some point, probably. After the kids are out of school, you think that...
I think we'll join households for sure. Mm-hmm. I look forward
to that. You're going to do the Tim Robbins, Susan Sarandon thing.
Yeah, which, you know, I have to say 20 years ago, I didn't totally understand.
Is he 15 years younger?
Who?
Your boyfriend?
No, he's older.
What's he older?
But they've just been living together forever and had kids together.
And
all
they're
stuff.
Broken up more now, babies. But they were yeah. together.
Oh, I thought you were talking about their age.
Yes,
life,
and
but
I
they
don't,
never got married because yeah, they believed that marriage was a societal constraint that's put on you, and it was made up to protect property, and there's really no point.
Right, and they were together for what, like 18 years or something,
time.
Like a long time. Yeah. So, right. So is that some sort of failure because like they didn't get married? I mean, I'm sure their breakup was not uncomplicated. They probably owned a lot of shit together.
Oh no, it was.
You know, so what's the difference as to whether or not the state's
Goldie
involved?
Yeah, I don't think Goldie Hawn and Kurt Russell ever got married either.
No, they didn't.
And did Angelina and Brad Pitt ever get married?
Yes,
they
married.
Did.
They did get married.
They married and they adopted all the children in Africa.
No, I think that because at one point they said they're not getting married until gay marriage is.
That's right.
Right.
And now it is.
And
so
Dax Shepard and what's her?
Kristen Bell.
Kristen Bell did the same thing. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
They're so cute.
Well, I'm not going to marry Rafael Nadal until
he proposes.
Well, actually, anytime he asks. If he would like to be married, I'm available at all times. I'm Maria. Maria Spertolozzi is the sound engineer here at Sideshow Network. And I just want to give her a shout out. Does such a fine job.
She's awesome. I love her.
She really is. And if the people
out
there
can with me.
Hear us clearly, is that right?
Yeah, you should listen to it. She's awesome.
And what's it about?
It's about finding your life purpose.
Wow.
I know.
I got to listen to that
No,
one.
It's awesome because she gives me hope for the future. Seriously.
Well, you're giving me hope for the future.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
You are. You're very optimistic.
I am.
I'm bitter and angry.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's all right.
That's okay.
I mean, some days I'm not.
Well, are you getting laid?
Well, you know, it's funny you should say that.
You just need those endorphins.
I know. It's
That's
so
all
true.
You need.
It's
it
hard. I have
everything.
A hard time dating in Los Angeles. I mean, I tried the online dating thing, but it was only for like 3 weeks. I didn't give it a fair shot.
I was going to say, like 21 days is really not a fair shot for anything.
I believe, though, that the online dating is backfiring.
Well, I do believe that is the case as well. Like all things, it has good and bad.
How is it backfiring?
Because what's happening is the men stay on, like, okay, Cupid, they stay on forever.
Oh, but that's a hookup site.
They don't change their profile. They don't change their. They don't change anything. They just stay on.
Okay, uh-huh. But in all
women
fairness,
like to kind of go on and off and kind of feel the waters, and then they change things around, like some of the answers, or maybe they do feel differently one day, and they realize, you know, I don't have to give out this much information or whatever. So women seem to alter their profile. Men, they just stay there like bottom feeders.
I'm going to give you some advice as a woman online. That is 100% across the board. Okay. Okay, 100% across the board. If you're going on a second or even third date with a guy, even if you've had sex with him, do not take your profile down.
Oh, yeah. Why would you do that?
Oh, my God. They do it all the time. And then they ask the guy why he's still got his profile up. He's like, Jesus, are we married? We've been on three dates.
Well,
I know. I mean,
that's a personal.
No,
I mean,
but it is extremely common.
I know. But if you're dating somebody that is literally scoping out how your status is, then they're not the right person anyway. I mean, if somebody
dare question what I post
or whether it's on Facebook or Twitter or OkCupid or whatever, like I would, if somebody would dare challenge me on that or you know, disparage that in any way, I would laugh in their face. Like, what are you fucking talking about?
But you're obviously
you're not my.
But you've been around the block and you're a little smarter. Well, most women will take their profile down and then the guy looks and he's like, oh shit.
Well, that's
like now I've done it. Like now, because you totally scare him off. It's like, no, you keep your profile up there until he specifically says,
the profile, hey babe, it's a very
like
personal
clear your
thing.
Schedule.
That's why it's called a profile. It's very personal, but it's also a breathing thing, and it kind of like breathes in and out, and you need to change it and
yeah,
think
you
about
can't,
it.
Exactly.
And put some
you can't deny
it.
That it's a living, breathing document, man.
Yeah, man. You put it
it's
out
like
there,
the
right?
Constitution.
So if it says something.
It's your statement
right, and
to the universe.
You write your profile and you're drunk, and in the morning, you know what I mean? So you should, in most cases, like Hemingway says.
Or hanging out with a bitter girlfriend. That's a bad
right.
idea.
Hemingway says you should write drunk and edit sober.
Okay? Oh.
But not when it comes to your profile page. Mm-hmm. When it comes to your profile page, be very selective. Be very careful. And so men, when they just let their profiles sit there, and it just seems that's just been my experience.
Oh, yeah.
And they just want women to they're just waiting for women to pounce on. And it's a lot of like, hey, you ever want to hook up with a younger guy? It's a lot of hooking
okay,
up.
Okay, first of all, you're on
a wait,
okay,
hooking
Cupid.
Up with a younger okay. guy?
Yeah, I get a lot of 20s guys in their 20s.
Yeah, it's a big thing.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
a big
really
thing.
Big well,
thing.
You're super hot. If I was a 20-year-old, I'd totally
sweet.
Go after you.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing. That's
I would,
so sweet
too,
of you.
If I was 20. But I'm 42, so forget
I'm
going to
be 50. I'm going to be 50.
You are my hero.
And I'm going to be celebrating my book release party, Pit to LAX, My Story Worthy Life.
Yes.
And my 50th birthday. It's all going to be one big
Woo!
Extravaganza. You want to come, Maria?
I want to come.
All right, good. It's going to be free.
If she's coming, I'm coming.
In Silver Lake. It's called the Spirit Stage.
I'm so excited.
I haven't talked to them yet, but I'm going to today.
You have big plans.
I already just put it out there. It's going to happen.
I think that's awesome.
Thanks.
Well, I think that online dating...
How did we get onto online dating?
Well, because she was talking about relationships. And I think that, look, I'm just going to say it. Like, OkCupid is a step above Craigslist, okay? Mm. Like, I'm surprised you're not getting hit on by couples, okay?
Yeah.
So,
oh,
I mean,
yeah.
So, it's really, like, that's a pretty much low... That you're going to find some bottom feeders there. Okay?
Yeah,
no offense to anybody,
that's so true.
But seriously, if you have to pay $20 a month to be on eHarmony or Match.com or something like that, and look, there's plenty of people looking to hook up on Match.com. That's true, of course, but the overall suggestion of the website is that you are looking for a relationship. There's not a box that you can check for. Hook up only, or I mean, there, it's like
this
is
there
a
is.
But this
I'll
is,
bet you
but
anybody,
no, there
is.
Isn't.
There
no,
isn't.
Not on Match. There is not.
Interesting.
No, I'm a little defensive of Match because I met my love on Match.
Oh, did
so,
you? Isn't that sweet? And, then
and I know a lot
corner.
Of people. No, we
different
lived 15 miles apart. I ended up moving out from schools and for him. Anyway.
Yeah.
So, Mary. So, anyhow. There's not. And I know that on OkCupid and that there's another one that's like there's literally like boxes that you can check if you're just going to hook up or not. So this is not like if you're on Match and you're kind of just looking and you state I'm just looking for a casual thing. You're borderline not playing by the rules. You know, and
oh,
so
come on. I don't,
no.
They
I'm
censor,
serious.
They don't censor though.
No. I'm not saying they censored. Yeah. I'm just saying that people generally on Match, you can assume are ultimately looking for a relationship. It's not doesn't mean that they're opposed to hooking up.
Yeah.
Okay. But their idea, the reason they're there, is they are looking for a match.
So
okay.
You, okay.
Where as opposed to websites that actually give you the option to say,
I see.
I just am looking for casual.
Well, what would you say then? Some of the Beverly Hills matchmaking sites are for.
I don't know a lot about them. I think.
What do you think?
I think that they're
hooking
well, okay.
rich guys up with trophy wives, right?
No. Well, yes.
Yes.
And
I mean, if it's about wealth,
that's
about
okay.
Wealth.
That's a whole different.
Yeah, Persians and
that's
blacks.
A whole different topic, really, because that's sort of this interesting blend of a rich man who really wants somebody who loves him and wants to have sex with him. But kind of also knows she's there for the lifestyle and a way. So it's this weird level of compromise. That's a whole other podcast.
But I know, but
I mean, really, it really is. That's a weird level of compromise. That's site specific. But I'm talking about sites like eHarmony and Match and Our Time and all that stuff. They're the idea here is that you're looking for a relationship. Now, there's a lot that you can tell.
Mm-hmm.
By somebody's profile.
I
and you're
so
a
too.
Very intuitive person. So you could read somebody's profile and just by what they choose to say,
mm-hmm.
not only just what they say, but what they're choosing to include tells you a lot about them and where they're at.
Yeah.
So, and what they want.
Right.
So I think that in some ways, online dating is fantastic for really helping you find a more specific match. And in other ways, you are going to find the guys who, whether they were on Match or not, sort of know that they have a catalog of women waiting for them at home. And so they're just really non-committal about anything. They don't want to make a decision.
Yeah.
You know, they just want to always, they know that there's just more options out there and they might miss something.
Well, but so, like you said before about women taking their profile down after two or three dates or whatever.
I don't think people do that. I just
say that they do.
I was saying in terms of like they'll stay up for 2 months and then they'll go down for 2 weeks and then or they'll get dates, right? So that my one girlfriend, she'll get like three guys that she's dating and then she's dating enough guys and then she'll take her profile down.
I see.
And if it doesn't work with those guys, then she puts the profile back up. So in other words, she doesn't have to bother. The profile is just
her time is taken up. It's not so much that she thinks that she's in a relationship.
I still think that freaks out the guys she's dating.
But I think it's
because they don't know why she took it down.
Well, yeah, but the guys are automatically assuming that she thinks, this is serious. This is a marriage.
Yeah.
But that, I mean, I guess that's my question about that particular element. And I don't think it's just women. I think men have the same thing.
Oh, everybody's got the same problems. Yeah. Everybody's got the same problems.
Like that whole, like what you're saying, like trolling for on the internet for a relationship. You know what I mean? Putting that pressure on your search, on your dating life, as opposed to just having fun, meeting new people,
but you don't
having
meet new
a
people.
Good time.
But you don't meet new people.
Blah, blah, blah.
Where do you meet new people?
Or, well, but no, I'm not saying that you can't do it online.
Oh, okay.
What I'm saying is, like, why is that pressure on it? Why is there so much pressure on finding this person and making this relationship happen? I would imagine that makes it harder to find quote-unquote true love and all that stuff if you've got that pressure on yourself.
No, I think actually what it does is it creates better timing because you're not on there unless you're at a time in your life where you're looking for something like that.
You've been married for so long, Todd. You don't realize that, like, single men don't drop out of the sky onto the roof of my car. Daily, I find that hard to believe. Not even monthly.
I
mean, it doesn't happen like that. And I have a podcast, and I meet new people all the time. Very talented people that could be, you know, that would be, you know, somebody,
potential
could be
somethings.
Could be,
yeah.
Never happens. Except sometimes I have somebody on my show who's older and perhaps unattractive, and then they hit on me. And then when I always walk back into the room after saying goodbye to the guest, Hannes, my co-host, will say, did he hit on you? And I'm like, yeah, whatever. And Hannes is like, please, just take one for the team. I don't see why you won't just sleep with a few guests and just get this over with. Listen, I want to say something about profiles. Okay. I have a friend who has a profile on OkCupid. Mm-hmm. And it's so true when it says so much about someone, what they choose to put out there and what they don't choose to put out there. And this guy, a friend of mine, his particular profile says, I just want you to know right now that
I hate sushi and
I don't drink wine. And I know I'm offending 90% of the women out there, but I need you to know that right off the bat.
Yeah, I'm offended because you don't like wine or sushi.
Or something like that. In other words, just saying, like, and I think to myself, and I've told them, you know, like, who cares if you like sushi, don't like sushi, drink wine, don't drink wine? This isn't even about
so
you.
Aggressive.
What are you talking about?
It's so aggressive. Makes him sound
like
so
me
angry.
Saying, like, I don't eat lamb. Who cares?
Yeah, who cares?
I don't care if you
I firmly believe that people who process their shit in their profile, they have no idea that they're doing it. They'll be like, I don't want you if you're going to be late. I don't like people who do this. I don't want to be told that. And it's like, whoa, okay, I get it. That all happened in your marriage. Okay,
yeah.
You're here for different reasons.
Like, I'm going to put my cards on the table.
The thing that you want, like, if he... The thing he needs to put out there is what he does want.
Of course.
And if he wants to say, sorry, I'm not a fan of sushi, but, you know, I'm totally open to, like, Mexican and Chinese,
you know, whatever. You don't have
to
answer.
Who cares?
And the other problem is when people answer, say, anywhere I think, my limit, I would say, when I did this briefly, was, like, if you answer over 100 questions, you got some time on your hands, man. Like, what are you doing?
You mean like all those little things?
Yeah, because they'll spit out like 700 or 800 or maybe 1,000 questions, and you can keep clicking forever. And people don't realize you don't have to answer any of those.
Yeah,
things.
You don't know.
You just move on.
There's, you know, there's something, maybe this might make sense to your friend. What he's saying whether he knows it or not, when he's saying, I know, like, I don't like sushi and I don't like wine, he's also kind of saying, when you tell me you like sushi or wine, I'm going to roll my eyes at you. Mm. Like, he's essentially finishing, you know, do you know what I'm saying?
It's like so saying, hard indicating. I, if you don't like, eat meat, I'm not into vegans, whatever.
Yeah,
that's closing off a lot of
sort
people.
Of, it's just starting out rude.
It's really
it's
bad.
Really, yeah. So I would imagine he's not having a ton of success on
no,
that.
No, he's not.
No. Well, now, so...
But that's what I'm saying. I mean, there's, like, so much pressure on, like, creating this relationship.
Yes.
Like, I need this perfect person.
Yeah.
Whether it's a woman looking for a man or a man looking for a woman. And I think all those pressures... included with the pressure of I need to get married someday or I need to have I don't want to die alone all right. that crap
right.
I mean I think that blinds you and keeps you away from actually finding
yes a, but I also have a real girlfriend. I have a couple of girlfriends
you know
who
I mean?
Have had success on OkCupid and in different sites and are married now and so it does work it can work and you are you know especially if you have a certain denomination you know whether
well, so you're stalking the pond
J date or right yeah, or Christian like, mingle or whatever you know you are even if you're into Tinder and that that type of social media I mean at least you are going on to Tinder knowing that the person you're looking at is also on Tinder so you have that in common
yeah
I think just have okay I think if mm-hmm. I get what you're saying here mm-hmm. like having all this pressure to create that relationship in your life
right
it, like is your that fantasy. Putting pressure is your that putting fantasy pressure of on what this?
Yeah well, I mean I think if you're not open to change and adjusting and compromise, that's mm-hmm. a huge part mm-hmm. of relationships.
Yes.
If you're not open to all those things, if you're like, I need this man to be this and committed yes. in this way and doing these things, and I need this woman to be not be into sushi and wine, and I need
yes,
like
very
all
rigid.
Those things. Mm-hmm. That
which again puts your relationship in the position of sort of being always your perfect dinner date and always your perfect, you know, it's again putting all that pressure on this one person to be all of those things to you when they really don't need to be because I could just save sushi for somebody else.
Yeah, and life
and
is
not a
Disney cartoon.
No,
we're not all princes and princesses, and we're human beings. And the sooner that you open your mind to other people's ways of being, the sooner you're actually going to find, I think, mm-hmm. that person. I mean, I didn't find my wife by. Like going out on a hunt for the
How
perfect
wife. How did
you meet
your wife? Let's hear it.
Well, it's really simple, actually. We were both in the same place of, like, I'm done trying to find the perfect person. We were both there. And then we were in a theater company together.
So you were in a theater company together. Were you giving each other massages and all that kind of stuff?
No. I was a total malcontent, dickhead, I was rude to her.
Oh, wow. So what?
And she was like, but she liked me anyway, and she came to a cast party and
so
hit
wait,
on me.
So wait, what are her issues that she wanted to be somebody
else? She had no issues.
She had
awesome.
No
really?
Issues. She just thought I was she thought
wow.
I was cool, and she
I'm
liked
kidding,
my acting and all that yeah. stuff, and I was just, like, being who I was at that time.
And they both have red hair.
That's
so
adorable.
It was sort of like, oh, yeah, you're a star-bellied Sneetch, and I'm a star-bellied Sneetch. Let's get together
but
and have
like,
little Sneetch
the
babies.
The first night we like, actually had a real long conversation, you know, and I gave her a ride home. We both sat in the car saying, look, we're not doing the serious relationship thing, and let's just... be cool
so
and we don't need to go upstairs and have sex and blah blah blah. Let's just like be friends and then we started making out and then within 20 minutes we were inside. And that's how that worked. And then our relationship progressed as we were both two people hanging out and supporting each other in what we're doing. And then eventually we liked a lot of the same things. And so eventually at a certain point we sort of looked at each other and said, well, we might as well get married.
Mm-hmm.
And it was it'll be a good excuse to have a party and bring all these people from our lives together.
A lot of people
and
feel like that.
Have a party.
Well,
and
common.
It was
that is
but
the
it
one
wasn't
reason.
Like a pressure to get married. It was mm-hmm. just like, hey, we're
how
gonna
long
be
after
together
you got married?
Anyway.
How long after you met?
Well, we moved in together really fast due to circumstances beyond our control. Like she was losing her apartment and I was like, well, you might as well crash with me until you get another place. And then she just never moved out.
She just
out.
Never left.
And we were together for 4 years before
we
got married.
Oh, that's, wow, that's
and
nice.
That's another thing I think
like, I know most people do this. Well, not maybe not most, but you know, the traditional thing is you get married and then you move in together, because before that it's living in sin, blah, blah, blah. But I think that's a huge thing. Like, move in together and live together for a few years before you get married, because a big part of marriage is, like, how's your roommate situation working out? Because you right. become roomies. Like,
I don't know.
How do
I
you live
know.
Together?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't
you
know.
You don't know what about yeah, the roomies?
I, that doesn't I know make an sense? Awful lot. I don't live with Mark 24/7. I know an awful lot about how he lives.
Right, but yeah. like once you're actually living together,
yeah,
you know.
Well, but then, I live but with then my people, first but then people get married years.
Because it's like momentum.
Well, I can't speak to your problem.
I mean, I just don't think that there's an answer to that.
No, no, there's no, probably like, not. But I think no that's way. A good.
Yeah,
that's
I don't
a
think it's a black
start.
And white thing at all.
No, it's
yeah,
not. Yeah. But I think yeah. a good thing to do is to.
Okay,
live
here's
for
one
a
more. Here's one more question for you guys on this topic, and then we have business to take care of. The idea you were saying earlier, but then some people, you know, fall in love and get married like 3, 4, 5 times in their lives.
Sure.
So?
Yeah.
Does it matter? I mean, is it?
No,
I really,
it really
don't consider my
matter.
Marriage a failure. I feel like my marriage expired.
Sure. I think that's fair. Well, I think people mature. Change and relationships change, and I don't think there's anything wrong with it.
I really don't think. It's interesting. I had a teacher in college who had this theory about relationships having a 12-year lifespan. And not necessarily that you would break up after 12 years, but that the dynamic changes after mm-hmm. 12
Everything
years.
Everything changes.
Right? Wow, and I was like, interesting. It yeah. never left my head.
Yeah.
And I would think about long-term friendships and what happened around 10 to 13 years yeah. like in there and how they kind of shifted. Huh. I looked at my marriage, you know, was like 10 years is a big time. Like if couples get past like the 10 to 12 year mark yeah. and they're happy, like they're probably going to go a long time. They're probably yeah. going to go at least another 10 or 12, you know? And it just kind of seems that way. And I do know of a few marriages personally that the reason they were actually able to get over the hump and get back together is because they separated for a mm-hmm. year. Mm-hmm. And some people call it a marriage sabbatical. And they literally just like, they separated for a year. They live separately and kind of, I think it's because you have to kind of figure out who you are now.
Yeah.
And then you can either bring all of that back to the relationship or not. Because this idea that you get married and you're supposed to sort of stay the same. Like, here we are. This is where we are. This is the agreement that we made. And this is who, and it doesn't allow for growth.
Right.
When you're making this decision in your early 20s, I mean, this is like you shouldn't be
well,
picking
the good
out
news is,
good furniture in your 20s.
Or yeah. The only advice I have is if you don't lie, because when you start lying,
yeah,
that's when it gets very, very, very ugly.
That is
because
trust.
When you lie, everything. it's just trouble. So
right.
now you can't have a conversation anymore. If there's any way to be honest and to try to like separate yourself and look at that person and think like, all right, I don't think they're evil. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I don't want to be with them anymore. I'm not having, this isn't working for me. But I think that they're probably a very good person. And especially if it's the father of your child
yeah.
or the mother of your child, you might want to consider that you are in their life forever anyway. So you might, you know, try to like before anger sets in and then lying sets in.
But I think the institution of marriage as we have known it, is a breeding ground for lies because
sure.
you are not really taught or set to believe that you can be fully authentic in that relationship if it doesn't exactly coincide with what it was supposed to be.
Mm.
Do you know what I'm saying? Like you have to kind of lie about who you are. You're not supposed to ever be attracted to another person. You're not supposed to want a different job. You're not supposed to...
But that's changing, don't you think?
Again, we're yeah. in Southern California.
Yeah. Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen,
I don't
let
think,
that be a note.
I don't
all.
Think, you know,
you really
40%, 40% of this
don't.
Country is spiritual but not religious. But that's still like 60% religion.
It seems
okay?
to be
and,
good to be on the coasts.
Right,
you know,
yeah. I can't live in the middle. I got to
yeah,
be on the coast.
There's something about the middle.
But, it, you know, and so much of this, again, another podcast, we have business to take care of, but is determined by primary religious beliefs mm-hmm. as well. So I think that I completely 100% agree with you. And that's where I think the people who got separated and got back together, they were dealing in the truth.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, I'm not happy.
Right.
I don't know how to fix it. And I don't think I can fix it under your nose.
Right.
Like, I think we need to separate. And they were honest about that. And then they were able to come back together and say, this is who I am. I'm bringing all of this to the table. Is that okay?
Yeah. It's like being an adult. And
then
raising
they can have
hand.
This authentic relationship.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, the best story I know is my friend's parents, when she was 7, they separated for a year and they got back together. And I think one of them went to live with somebody else too.
Hmm.
And because he was sort of the superstar in the marriage. Yeah. She went and lived with another man for a year, actually. Came back and said, like, this is who I am. I'm bringing all of this to the table. You got to let me be a whole person here. And he was like, yes, and I love you. And we're together. They've been together forever. They're in their 70s. They have sex every night. And, you know, they turn off the phones and have dinner every night and sex every morning.
Wow.
I know. Fantastic. What? They've been married, like, forever. And, but that's because they could come back to this relationship fully authentic.
Yeah.
You know, like, I married you for all these really wonderful reasons. Like, I'm into you. But if I can't be a whole person, I can't be authentic,
so
how is this ever going
to
work?
Raise your hand and say, I know what I said in those vows. Yeah. I know what I said, but here's the deal.
Right.
It's not working.
Right.
And I know you hate me right now.
And that's a hard truth. Instead, people go and they fuck around in Vegas and they come home and they man the barbecue and they pretend nothing happened.
And then that way they can just get caught and it's easier to get it over with. They don't have to man up.
So, MILF quiz. Christine.
MILF quiz. I can't wait.
Okay. You ready?
Yes.
Don't think too hard.
Okay.
Okay. First word that comes to mind when you hear MILF.
Mom and Los Feliz.
Oh, there you go.
Because it's kind of mine. Yeah.
Right. That's your thing. Monica. What turns you on creatively?
Painting.
Oh, I want to see some. Mm. What turns you off creatively?
Numbers.
Hmm. What favorite piece of clothing do you refuse to throw away?
Old t-shirts from races, you know, like
races.
Like,
oh, because you did the marathons and stuff. Yeah, I couldn't throw that. Yeah, no, those are like trophies, right? What sound do you or noise do you love?
Guitar.
Spanish guitar.
No,
just
like
acoustic
Dave
guitar.
Matthews, Neil Young.
Oh, nice. What sound or noise do you hate?
The backing up of trucks backing up.
Have you ever lived in New York?
No, I haven't.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God.
Did you see that episode of Louie where he's trying to sleep and then the garbage men like are pulling it up and they start banging?
I don't need to see it. I lived it.
It's one of the funniest
things. What the hell? How does anybody sleep in that city?
Yeah.
What is your favorite substitute curse word?
Fudge.
Oh.
Oh, my gosh. I say fudge all the time.
Really?
Playing tennis. It's totally, you know, when you play tennis with people, I play quite a bit, and you get to know everybody's, you know, not only you know the way they play tennis and, you know, their forehand or their backhand or how their serve is, but you learn their vocabulary. And mine is always fudge. And I just hold on to that. I don't know. I've been saying fudge for 20 years.
I think that's so nice of her. She doesn't get kicked out of the country club, you know?
Yeah.
The other thing is I'll say, God damn it. Fudge. You know what I mean? So I'm still swearing.
That's awesome.
It's my fudge.
Do you ever go, motherfucking fudge?
Well, mother fudging.
No, but you will now.
I will. Motherfucking fudge.
Okay, who's your number one celebrity crush?
Rafael Nadal.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to say Todd Anderson. Damn it. Okay, favorite song to sing in the shower?
Oh, my gosh. I don't know. Anything Neil Young.
Okay. You know. Favorite song to sing for karaoke after two drinks?
Well, you know what's so funny? I've only done karaoke one time in my whole life.
What'd you sing?
And I did this really, and it was only a couple of months ago. And I did.
We
this
need to get
really,
her out.
Really depressing REM song called.
You did not.
I did.
I'm so disappointed.
It was
in
like
you,
a dirge.
Never do depressing songs.
What I want to work on is Blister in the Sun. That's
all
what
right.
I want to
you
work
on that,
that's a good
and
one.
We've got a good place to take you karaoke.
Okay.
All right, you're coming out. Okay, so if heaven exists, what would you like God to say when you arrive at the pearly gates?
Christine, meet Neil Young.
So, for your suffering, for suffering through the MILF quiz, now you get to plug all your websites. How do we find you?
Storyworthypodcast.com or shotgunstoryworthy.com or christineblackburn.com.
And we can tweet you at Storyworthy,
too,
right?
Oh, please do. Yeah, tweet me at Storyworthy. I sure do enjoy tweeting.
Do you?
Yeah. I really
but
enjoy
you can
it.
Tweet me in MILF Talk. Okay, so, and Todd, we find you all over the place.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, I'm everywhere.
Everywhere.
Everywhere. I am the internet.
Okay. Well, that's our show for today. If you would like to support MILF Talk, take your generous self to patreon.com/MILF Talk. You can find me and like me, pretty please, on Facebook at Sophie Venable. You can find my book, MILF 101, on Amazon. And don't forget to get your free workbook at makeyourlifefabulous.com. com. Thank you again, Christine, for being here. That was tons of fun.
A pleasure.
Thank you all for listening. Yeah, thank you too, Tom.
All right.
Thanks for listening.
Bye.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years, one of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.